Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Think Loud Crew podcast, where it is three moms who like to keep it real and get raw with our emotions, our feelings, and I slaughter our intro every week. Every week, I just slaughter it. Somebody,
that's why I asked.
Every
you
week,
want
I just
me to?
Fuck it
want
up. Jesus Christ, whatever, it's fine. This week, we have a very special guest. We have Mr. Nelson. I've known Nelson since Are You the One, and that was probably like 9 years ago.
Oh wow, 9 years ago.
We go way back 9 years. We did our first MTV reality show together, not together, but in the same house. And looking back, I would say I never thought 9 years later we would still be number one doing reality TV.
Shit, even being friends.
Then still friends.
Let me just be real.
Let's just keep it real.
I never thought we would still be friends. No, oh, but man. Really.
Hey, yo, what's up to the world? It's your boy Nelly T, and I'm here with the Think Loud podcast. It's such a blessing to be here and tell my truth. Longtime friend Cheyenne, thank you for having me.
Of course.
Right?
Yes.
Beautiful smile. Today's a lovely day out here in the West Coast, and I'm happy to be here.
Nelson.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you. I just want to get right to it.
Let's get to it.
Number one, I feel like watching you go through this from a sideline position. I'm on the sideline, but I'm your friend, but I'm also, you know, you're closer to Corey than me, so I get to hear all the bits and pieces through like the grapevine, and I'm like, hey, how's Nelson doing? But I still check in with you, and I would say I've watched you publicly remain extremely positive.
Mm-hmm. I would say the same thing. Just watching you from, I do follow you, so just watching you from your journey, I think from the beginning, like Shai said, like it's been positive affirmations, you know, your faith going into it and everything. It's very inspiring.
But is that
how you feel?
Is that real? Is that the truth? Is that truly, do you wake up and you're smiling and you're happy, or do you show the positive side for social media?
That's a great question. And first of all, Shannon, I will follow you back. I heard that. She tried to call me out. But And if you don't follow me, my Instagram is _NelsonThomas. My TikTok is MTV_NelsonThomas. And I keep it very raw and very real. Mm-hmm. I show my emotions. Y'all have only seen a glimpse of things. I've also uploaded videos of me screaming, mm-hmm. not really tearing up, but I've definitely gone through some dark moments. The rabbit hole is deep. It's really deep. Everyone wants to tell you there's light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
But nobody wants to tell you how long that tunnel is.
Damn.
And that's the truth. So I'm here. And the reason why I love social media so much, you know, because it gives you an outlet to express who you are. Nobody controls you. Nobody filters you. And I plan to give it to y'all real, like the emotions, the happiness. I mean, I was just at Universal Studios with Ryder, Mila, and Maya, and I was having a great time, the best time of my life. But then, you know, I get home, I gotta put my foot up on the couch, I look at it, it's fat and blue, it's so sore, I'm in pain. But you look at these girls and smile, and they bring joy to your life.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The little things like that are little windows as you go through this tunnel. That's the light that is shined on you.
Yeah.
But then there's your dark moments.
Yeah, you have moments where... I get that. I feel like that's every day for life. I mean, that's with me, and I'm not facing what you're facing. You know what I mean? But I have moments where, of course, you can be happy, and then you sit down, and then you're just in your thoughts, and I'm like, fuck, like, I got this bill to pay. This kid is crying. I don't think my husband's happy right now. Like, you know, and you get down on yourself, but then something happens where, like, Zach walks in, and he's smiling. I'm like, okay, he's happy. And then
I'm good,
you know, like I'm good. And then the kid stops crying. I'm like, okay. And then somehow we pay that bill. And I'm like, okay, like I'm okay. You know, and then you like have to breathe it out again. So I completely can. Not everything
this
ringing.
Is calling me right now. Corey, I am doing a podcast.
We're filming. Can we're you filming. Call back?
Hey, why does your face look like that?
He looks like a fat writer. Like, what?
Fat writer. I'll call you later, bro. My bad. Let me put my phone on silent. I'm apologize about that.
Yeah, apologize.
Can we back up for people who don't know what your journey is and what happened to you? Can you elaborate on that? Can you elaborate on what happened and why you are on this journey?
No doubt. And to get back to shy questions one more time, this is raw. This is real. I don't do this for social media. I'm not doing this for followers. I'm not doing this for likes. I'm not doing this for anybody but myself because I realized this is therapy to me to let it all out. Instead of keeping it all in and bottled it in, I've buried too many things, and now I'm having to face my demons because it's those dark moments when you're alone and you don't have those happy moments. It's when they really come get you. And what I mean by that is the devil, because he's very strong in the dark. And March 5th of 2023 was a big life changing for me. It happened so fast, a flip of a switch, something I've done every day, typical Sunday, basic day, waking up, smiling, laughing, and just enjoying myself, you know? And
what did you do that day before the accident?
It's so hilarious, man. I was calling my friends to link up with them. Nobody was picking up the phone. I woke up around like 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a typical Sunday. We're watching football. Nobody's answering me. So I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to watch movies, watch football at home, and order some Uber Eats. So next thing you know, I got the Uber Eats, and your boy went in. What? What I mean by that, I had the itis after that. I went to sleep. I was knocked out. I woke up. I had like 6 missed calls. And my friends were telling me, hey, where you at? Where you at? Come down. Come down. We're watching football down here at the bar. And I'm like thinking to myself, dog, I'm already in bed. I don't need to get out. But then, you know, they texted me, man, you said we're going to come down. You said you're coming out. I was like,
right.
All right. Let me get dressed.
Yeah.
Let me get fresh to death. Let's go, baby. Jumped in the shower, put my good clothes on and my good cologne. So I head out. Had a couple drinks that Sunday. I'm hanging with friends, watching football, and everything's going good. And it's probably about like 12:15, 12:30. My friends are going to a new spot. Drive over there, fine. I get there, and I'm just chilling at this moment, and I'm relaxing. I'm like, man, I don't want to be here no more. It's time for me to go. So I have a couple more drinks with a couple more friends, and I'm cool. I'm walking out the club, and I feel normal. I get into my car, and next thing you know, I remember making a turn on the street corner. I make a turn at all the time on my way home, same highway I drive all the time home. And I'm probably like 5 exits down.
From home.
From home.
That's so you know that statistically, I might be saying that word wrong, but no, I've always heard that DUIs are more common to happen when you're closer to home than further.
That's crazy to think about.
I've always heard that.
That's true.
But before you keep going, I have a question.
Yeah.
Was it your norm to go out to the bar, have a few drinks, and to drive home? Or was it your norm to have a few drinks in Uber to where you're going and then Uber home? Like, what has been your norm in the past?
My norm was to go out, have a couple of drinks. If I knew I was going to get really lit, I'd get an Uber. Mm-hmm. But I told myself, you know what? I have an early morning. That Saturday, I just hosted a fitness event, giving people advice on healthiness and how to stay fit and your mental. So that Sunday, I was feeling really good. I was like, oh, you know what? I'll have a couple of drinks, watch the football game, be home before 2 o'clock and wake up on Monday feeling good. Because if you out after two, I mean, you ain't going to feel too good on Monday. I'm old, people. Yeah, right. I need a few days to recover. So, yeah, man, it was a typical norm, a typical Sunday. Beautiful day, too, man. And those are the days that get you. Those are the days, the unexpected days is what really gets you. And next thing you know, like I said, I was 5 exits down from home. Mm-hmm. And I wake up. I don't know what happens. I wake up. I open my eyes. I look around and all I see was flames and fire. And I thought I was in hell. I thought I was dead. I said, this can't be possible. And the car was on fire. Like literally in front of my eyes. Yeah, my car was on fire. I ran into a pillar. And
so you do remember that night?
I remember a glimpse of it. I remember getting pulled out that car, me screaming, saying, I can't get out this car. I hear a woman's voice screaming to get out, get out, get out. Oh, okay. And I'm thinking like, okay, I can't be dead. I'm still alive.
Yeah.
I'm not in hell.
You're hearing people. Oh, you're hearing things.
Everything. Yeah. You're hearing people screaming, but what is in front of your eyes is flames.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was like, what is going on right now? And my driver's seat door was stuck, was pinned against the rail. So I couldn't go out that way. The only way out was through the passenger door. And when I tried to pull myself out of there, I was stuck. But I'm like, yo, I can't get out. I can't move. I'm like, what is going on right now? And the young lady pulls the door open. And it's the three other guys that are coming down. And I'm thinking, okay, all I got to do is get out the car. So I put myself back into the driver's seat. I pulled my leg. I yanked it. And my adrilling is just going.
Yeah, because you're in survival mode.
Yeah, you're like, I see fire. Let me just get out.
At that point, I mean, you're just in pure survival mode.
Right, I agree. So then I'm halfway out the car. Next, you know, these people pull me the rest of the way, and I'm looking at the sky, and I'm just begging God, like, God, please, I don't want to die. God, please, I don't want to die. KJ even tells you, like, that's all I'm saying is, God, I don't want to die. And you could hear in the recording video that he recorded me saying that and me getting pulled out the car.
KJ is the football player.
Yes, KJ Osborne is a football player. Yes, he is.
So he was part of, he was there.
He was part of the crew that helped me get out.
Do you remember, or who was the woman's voice that you heard?
Her name was Rita, and she was Nigerian. And that's, her voice was so distinct. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. It was a beautiful voice, man.
Yeah.
It's like God sent me an angel, which he did. He did that night. He sent me four angels, KJ Osborne, which is a football player from Vikings in Minnesota. And then we got Rita, the young lady.
And she's the one who opened the door.
Yes, opened the door. And then we got Arthur, which is Nigerian too. And then we got Abib. I'm pronouncing his name kind of wrong, but those are the four angels that helped me that night.
And pulled you out and helped you
out. These are Uber drivers. You got to realize the timing. And there were cars.
Wait, who was an Uber driver?
Wait, they were all Uber drivers?
No, Rita was an Uber driver. Okay. KJ was a passenger. And Abib, I think that's his name. Abdul, maybe. And Arthur was Uber drivers. So they were passing along the highway.
They saw you.
Yes.
And they stopped and got out the car and helped you.
Got out the car and helped me. And there was a lot of cars passing. And you got to realize those four people stopped. At a burning
stop hitting the table.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Bro, you're never gonna be a fighter.
Yeah, man. But yeah, those four people pulled me outside the car, and next thing you know, I blacked out. I blacked out.
Just from and probably everything.
Everything that was going on, and I wake up in the hospital. And I remember that moment, man. It was
when you woke up. Who was there?
The doctors, friends. My mom had made it in town. She had just heard about it. And I remember the doctor telling me, it's like, what happened?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And I'm like, okay. And I look down at my leg and I'm like, oh my God. And the next thing you know, I looked at the doctor and asked him, I was like, did I hurt anybody else? Was I the only one injured?
Yeah.
And when he said yes, that's when tears fell down because I was so happy because I couldn't live with myself if I was to injure somebody else because of a mistake I made.
So at that point, it all kind of processed that you got into the accident because you were intoxicated and driving.
It didn't. That didn't process yet until they gave me the results.
Got you. Because you're probably, because you said when you left the party, you felt fine. You felt good to go home.
So I'm thinking in my head, did somebody hit me? Or did somebody, did I try to avoid something?
Right.
And till this day, I can't even remember. I can't remember.
What was the cause of
And I'm gonna take full responsibility and say drinking and driving. That at the end of the day, I can sit here and say this and that, but I don't remember. And I could say, okay, I hit the pillar and next thing you know, I just blanked out or whatever, and I could blame it on anything else. But if I wasn't drinking and driving that night, that probably would have never happened. Right. Who knows? Who knows why my car went off the highway?
That's
but
so crazy,
the only logic I could think of me drinking and driving at the end of the day.
At what point did you get the toxicology report?
I didn't get it till probably a month afterwards, I think, because of my lawyers and everything. I did not know, and I finally get the results. Because I'm in the hospital fighting for my life.
Yeah,
right
you're
now.
Not even necessarily probably thinking about
like, I need my,
That I need those results, that this is what happened. And then nobody said anything to me until later down the road. It said, look, these were your blood results. And I'm thinking, okay. And I'm thinking in my head, like, hold on, I couldn't have been that drunk. I drank way more than that. You know what I'm saying? I've been way intoxicated where I knew I wouldn't have gotten into a car. But when they say you were above the line of this, and I'm like, okay. I think back at it now. I was like, Nelson, you know, who knows how that alcohol affected you that day at that time. So ever since then, man, I owned up to it. And I was like, Nelson, you can't make excuses for yourself. You can't blame nobody else. You got to really dig deep and realize this is your mistake. This is what happened. But I still needed to process all this. I'm like, yo.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
How long were you in the hospital until you could come home?
Oh, man, that's crazy, yo. So I was in the hospital for probably 3 weeks approximately, but then they sent me home.
Sorry.
It's okay. I excuse you.
Hey, it was a hiccup, okay?
What's that?
It's a hiccup.
It was like...
We forgive you.
Oh, my God.
So they sent me home, right? And
after 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks.
Okay.
But ended up back in the hospital. My friend that was helping me out at the house, one day I wake up that morning and they say, hey, I can see the metal getting pushed out your ankle. So
Stop.
My body was rejecting the metal.
Oh my God.
But he saw it reject.
He saw
you had
the metal.
Multiple surgeries.
Multiple surgeries.
Was it just that your leg that got help? Like, was there any other things?
I had a couple injuries. I had my wrist right here was broken. I have three screws in here.
Oh
my lip
God.
Was busted.
Okay.
But that's about it. My ankle was the
main injury.
Yeah. I was at a salvage state. I was a 10 out of 10 injury. The doctors tried to save my ankle and they did the best they could.
Yeah.
And they told me, Nelson, we've never seen nothing like this. And if we have, we're going to do our best to save it.
Right.
So, my skin, the first time they sent me home, I've had 3 plates and 23 screws in it, but they wanted to leave my skin alone so it can heal.
The skin on your foot?
The skin on my ankle.
Okay.
My ankle.
Your ankle.
You had 23 screws.
23 screws and 3 plates.
In the ankle. Bro,
process.
Your ankle's only about this big.
I know, right?
That's why I was there's so much shit in there.
Like,
how many things
can... Okay.
I did.
So 23 screws, 3 plates... Went home and they left your skin alone?
Yeah, they left my skin alone because they wanted to heal on its own because you got to realize with that blood flow and that oxygen,
right.
It can heal, right?
Mm.
But that wasn't the case at all.
Okay.
I got rushed to the emergency room at 11:30 at night and had to go into surgery that morning.
Dang.
Because luckily it didn't get infected, but the skin was not healing at all. So they had to open my left leg, take skin from my left leg and put it on my right ankle, which is called a surgical flap.
Wow.
Surgical flap. And they had to hook up to an artery in my hip so it can have blood flow. So took skin from here. I have a big scar right here. Put it on my ankle, sewed it up, and hooked it up to an artery in my hip. And then
they hooked
up. So at this point, what's your pain level?
At this point, it varies. It depends on how long I'm standing up, if I'm walking. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, I was up and walking for approximately about 6 hours.
Yeah.
My pain level is probably like at a 7.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
Man.
I got off the plane, a flight here. My pain level was probably about a 3 or 4. You know, I need to elevate it as much as I can and put ice on it, but you can only do so much. I don't take pain meds. I don't. And long story to that, we'll get into that, but I stopped taking pain meds too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was my first surgery. And then, excuse me.
You don't take pain meds?
No. I got addicted.
Okay.
Got it.
So now I see why you don't take them.
My mom, the first time I went home, I argued with my mom
about taking them,
taking them
meds, wanting more,
wanting more,
and she was telling you no,
no,
yeah,
and she probably saw you in a tunnel of your journey of darkness, probably too.
I think that too, and pills alone scares anybody. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
that of addiction course. And yeah. everything. That just and your son is there is like
yeah.
oh my God,
yeah.
But you got to realize how much things are pumping into your body while you're in the hospital.
There's so much shit.
Everything.
I'm sure you're
like
so much
like 10. Now you're going to send me home after I'm done. That once that's out your body,
you
once
feel, I it,
feel home, everything.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
You feel everything you really when you go home. And then it probably takes like 2 or 3 days. And then you really, on that third day, you really feel everything because mm-hmm. all the numbing, all that mm-hmm. stuff is out of your body.
Exactly.
When I got my, what was it? I think when I did my second surgery, when I had to fix my boobs and my muscles were collapsed from the accident that Zach and I were in, the doctors prescribed me Oxy, and my mom would break it and give me a little piece, and then she would take the bottle home with her. And she was like,
shit.
I refuse to let you get addicted to this. Because she said that there was one day, the first day I was home, she gave me the whole one that I was supposed to like have or whatever. And she said I laid back and said like something like this is like a like I'm high and like it was
she
said
was like
you it was almost like you laid back and like you looked like you enjoyed that feeling too much for me, but she was like you were so high that you didn't know what you were saying, but you were high as fuck. So she was like she was like
you know? Can't have that
so
no
I swear
more.
She would break it, she would give me like little pieces just to like level the pain out, not to mask it, not to make me high, not anything, but she was like, this little piece you can get and I'm taking these home with me because I don't want you to get addicted to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought about it until really now, where I really think about like that first one that I took and how I understand how people can chase that feeling
mm-hmm. always
and yes. constantly chase it, and if you don't get it, you're going to try to find something else that can give you that feeling. And that is what's so scary to
the
me.
Scary oh my.
First of all, big shout out to Cheyenne's mom. She's such a great mom.
Thanks, Mom, for taking my Oxy.
I want to give a big shout out to all the mothers out there, because if it wasn't for y'all, you know, I don't know where us kids would be nowadays, because y'all are so strong. My mom was in the hospital the entire time, and I could see the pain in her eyes, the tears that were falling down. She was changing my bed sheets by 8 times a day because how much I was sweating from the Oxy, from the hydros, from everything that were pumping into my body. She had to bathe me, and then to take me home and hear me cry and scream throughout the night because I could not sleep, and she didn't want to give me more pills. I know it hurt her more not being able to help me in those times of needs.
Yeah.
You got to help any mother to see their son or daughter tearing up. And
I think I told you that. I told you your mom feels everything you're feeling right now times a million.
Because
right.
she can't.
Everything.
She can't do anything.
You can't do anything. You feel helpless. You're looking at your child. And when I look at my babies, I picture them as babies. Like, I still see Ryder as an infant baby. I still see Ace as a baby. So I can only imagine when I'm looking at Ace and he's this grown-ass man. And all I can still see is baby Ace. And I'm thinking, why can't I solve the problem for you?
Right.
My mom has this conversation with me all the time where she's just like, on those days where I'm really struggling mentally and I'm like, I can't get out of bed. I'm not feeling it today. I'm questioning things that have happened to me or reasons why I feel this way. And she's just like, I'll lay right here with you because I feel everything that you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And the times when I want to scream at her and say, no, you don't, she's quick to be like, yeah,
yes, I do.
I do. Do you want me to explain it to you? And yes, I'm like, okay, never mind, Margaret. But I'm like,
just kidding.
You call her Margaret, you know.
Right. Like, I'm like, whatever, you got this. But I cannot imagine how your mom feels.
Yeah, man, she's a strong mother. Being a single parent for so long, and she's happily married now. But she's been holding me down since I was a kid. Man, I put that woman through hell. You know, I didn't have the best upbringing growing up here in Inglewood, but she's been there since day one. She's supported me since day one. Anything I've done bad or good, she's always been there through the bad and good, and I love her for that. And I have so much respect for mothers out there so much, because y'all are so strong. Y'all endure so much, and us kids don't realize that. Our time is limited here. Yeah. So anytime you get a chance to tell your mom you love them, tell them. It goes a long way. I love you, Mom.
I was just about to say, you better tell her. Now.
Give me a chance. Give me a chance.
Like, hello. You should have led with that.
It was coming. Ladies, come on.
No, you talked to your mom since, like, I know you guys are still going on this journey, but has she expressed to you, like, her pain through this whole process with you? Or is she just a strong face for you this whole time?
Strong face. The one thing about my mother, and you know, my mom doesn't show tears in front of us. Mm-hmm. My mom.
That was my other question to be.
My grandmother, her mother passed away, and I didn't even see my mom shed a tear, and that kind of got to me, and I had to open up about that, because that's part of me, and sometimes it's hard for me to show my feelings, but I've came to a state of mind, is like, being vulnerable is not to be ashamed of. Being a man, being a black man, it's hard to be vulnerable in this world, because people are so quick to throw stones at us and judge us before they invest in us and take the time to get to know somebody.
You're not allowed to show weakness.
No, we're not.
I'm happy
not.
You said that, because I feel like I raised my son to be able to cry, and me showing him my emotions. So I know he tells me sometimes, like, Mom, you have to let me feel my emotions. Like, don't tell me not to cry. He tells me, and I'm like, oh, shit, you are so right. As a black man, it is so important.
I agree 100%. And it's helped a lot. So it's helped a lot. I think me and my mom have grew so much from this experience. Mm-hmm. And honestly, not just my mom, but my family as one. I'm going to let y'all in on something exclusive. The reason why I'm out here in LA is because I saw Oliver Thomas, my dad, for the first time in 32 years.
Wow.
And because he went to jail, and he spent 32 years in jail and just got out about a year ago, but I didn't have the strength to see him. And, you know, I finally built that strength up during this process and realized, like, you don't want to have no regrets.
Yeah.
You don't want to look back and say, I didn't try. Or this is what was holding me back. Because now I'm at a point in my life is that I need answers. Mm-hmm. Why do I think the way I think? Why do I move the way I move? Why do I look the way I look? You know, why is it so hard for me to do certain things or move a certain way? Or why do I move the way? Well, we have to talk to our father. We have to talk to our mother, you know?
You gotta understand.
So that's one wall that came down. And that's, you know, I think because of this journey I'm on, I'm able to because of the journey I'm on, it's gave me a lot of courage to face my demons, because of the dark hole and the dark place I was in at times. Because you're going to face hard times, you're going to be alone, and this is not the hardest time I'm going to face. I've done my due diligence. I've talked to amputees. Mm-hmm. I've talked to people with ankle fusions, and to everyone out there is wondering, why Nelson, why are you cutting your foot off? There's other options.
Right.
Well, you got to ask yourself, what kind of quality of life do you want to live?
Yeah.
I can live here and be presentable with a foot, right? And be okay with it, just because of the physical aspect of it, the mental process of it. But I'd be living a halfway life.
Yeah.
A half-assed life. And I had to really ask myself, well, let me rephrase that. I had to stop asking myself, why me? Mm. Why me? And ask God, why am I still here? What do you want from me? And that is when my faith got stronger. That is when I started. You know, I was going to church before the accident, but I was level surface shit. I was just going to church because everybody else was going to church. You got a good feeling afterwards. It made you think. You made your mind wonder. I didn't really dive in and knew what the Father was about. And this entire time, I feel like I've been living for myself and not for Him. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why I'm still here. There's a reason why I have this second chance.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like, I feel like He put me on this earth to inspire and help others and show people there is light at the end of the tunnel, regardless of what kind of experience you're going through, but you can't lose faith at all.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Can we back up?
Yeah.
Because I feel like you dropped a whole bomb and then tried to like...
Escape from that?
What? Escape from the bomb.
My father.
Oh, for your father.
Yeah, yes. I'm like, you were not.
I knew it.
You're backing up.
I'm trying to escape that.
He's like, yeah, so the real thing is like... I'm like, hold on. We're going to just back it up a few moments. So...
I have questions.
Okay.
Think Loud Crew don't miss nothing.
So your dad was incarcerated for how long?
32 years.
Your whole life, basically.
My whole
life. I was about to ask, how old are you?
I am 35. He went to jail when I was 3 years old.
Okay.
And he's been out for a year. So is he living in a halfway home or is he in a placement?
He's living out here in LA by UCLA in the apartment.
Okay.
And, he's working at a warehouse.
Nice.
And it's so crazy, man. He looks just like my brother. Like, wow. I was so shocked. The entire time he was talking, I couldn't just stop staring at him like,
oh, you're like, you're my brother.
Yeah, like, oh my God. Like, I look like my mom, but
yeah.
My brother.
Yeah, you look like your mom. Your mom and your twins. Who reached out to who?
He reached out to us as soon as he got out.
Okay.
He's been trying to reach out to me probably since I stopped writing him when I was 13 years old.
Okay.
And at that point, man, being a 13-year-old African-American kid living in Inglewood, you ain't hearing that shit.
Yeah,
you ain't, if you ain't around me, you ain't no father to me. You're more like a sperm donor to me. And that's what it was.
That's sweet.
I was tired of writing letters. You know, it's sad to see a lot of fathers that are not in their child's life, but there's always a reason why. Even if the reason doesn't fit your answers, there's always a reason, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to find that out.
So the whole 32 years, did you ever see him?
You know, it's crazy. The last time I saw him was when I was 3 years old and my mom took me up to the jail.
Uh-huh.
And he told me this. We met up at Sizzler's by the forum on Tuesday. And he said, the last time I saw you, you were 3 years old. And I had told him, come home, daddy. And that really got to me. And it's kind of hard for him to even say that because to look at him, I had to look at him and tell him, don't call me son. Mm-hmm. Call me Nelson. And I'm here to listen to you. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to cast stones at you because I know I've been on the other side. So I'm here to hear you out. I don't know what this could turn into.
Yeah.
But I'm open to
But you're
to
open
it.
To finding out what it can turn into.
Exactly.
It's
what did
okay.
he think about hearing who you are? I mean, away from the DUI accident, what did he think about hearing about your journey as you being a child to you being living in Austin, to you being on TV, to you doing the challenge? Like, what does he think about your life?
It's so weird, man. I hate to say this, but the entire time he was telling me about me, he sounded like a fan.
Aww. But you have to think he's been watching it from the sideline.
No doubt. No, I'm not judging, but I'm just saying from my perspective.
Yeah. Sure, it was interesting.
Shit, at least he's a fan. He's not a hater. Like,
I mean, but I'm sure it's
weird. That's a weird point of view.
Yeah.
If he was a hater, man, shit.
Right, you'd be like,
excuse me.
Hold on, let's talk about this.
Like, he knew things about you.
The first time he saw me, he was in jail. His cellmate snuck in a cell phone and he saw me compete on a challenge.
Aww.
And he had a tattoo of me on his chest. Wow. And his cellmate said, I think this is your son. And he saw me. And I'm talking about the old school cell phones, big iPhones or whatever. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's kept up with my life. It's so funny because last year, I remember seeing a picture of him on social media and he had brought my clothing line Level Up. He had his shirt on and had the hat on. Shout out to Level Up. It's coming back. You get that, people?
Wait, he had it on his page.
He had a shirt on. He had a shirt on.
Oh, he had.
He bought a shirt. He had it on. And I saw it said the name Oliver Thomas. And I'm like, and this is the second picture I saw. The second picture I saw. Yeah, on social media. It's crazy.
Did he have an IG?
Yeah. I blocked him.
That's fair.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't handle it. I was running away from it, and this is what I'm saying. I was running away from my demons. And that's something that with going into this new chapter, I don't plan on doing. I plan on facing them full forward.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to say to a lot of things out there. You know, a lot of my friends, a lot of people around me, you know, they all give me their opinion on how to handle things, you know? And a lot of people wanted me to sit back and let the storm, you know, brawl pass me over. And I had that mentality for a little bit. But then as you sit there alone and you start to think, like, what am I running from? This is who I am.
Mm-hmm,
I'm not going to be scared to show people this is me. I'm imperfect. We are all imperfect people. Nobody's perfect. We make mistakes. But it's how do we go about it? How do I grow from this? How do I help the next person not to make the same mistake and inspire people they can do better? And even though people want to judge them for who they are, F those people, man.
Mm-hmm.
You are who you are, and you don't like who you are, change it. Get up and change it. So I had to tell myself, I had to have those deep conversations within myself because I was ashamed to look at myself in the mirror. You got to realize I was on top of the mountain. I was on a TV show. I've been on TV for the last 8 years, 9 years of my life every year. And that's hard being in the world we live in, especially the reality TV world, because they don't set you up for the future. They use you as a pawn and let you go. You got to figure it out from there. Cheyenne, you know, you have to do your own thing.
You have to create something out of the platform that you've been given. But I think sometimes the people don't realize with people who do reality TV like us, we've been doing it for 9 years now, and it doesn't come with a foolproof plan. It doesn't come with health insurance. It doesn't come with a retirement plan. It doesn't come with a financial advisor. It doesn't come with someone who's telling you to take your taxes out. So I would say it is a learning lesson, and it's not like, you know, we live and we learn, but it's like doing this for 9 years and learning as we go, it's hard. And then to still have the face of the world judging you with every move you make and every decision you make, whether it's a good one or a bad one. And of course, it's easy for people to say, oh, don't read the comments, or, oh, you signed up for this. No. Like, this is just what comes with it. It's I still read the comments because I'm human. And sometimes at night I can't sleep, so I read the fucking comments. I know this is what I signed up for, but I'm still a human. Like, I'm still allowed to get my feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's still hurts my feelings if someone writes a comment and talks about how fat I am, or, you know, my hair looks bad that day, or whatever it is. I'm still looking in the mirror like, fuck, like, do I need to lose 5 pounds, or should I change my hairstyle? I'm human.
Right.
I have better days with it, but there's some days where I really sit there and I let the shit get to me, and then I'm like, all right, like, fuck it, like,
you have to
come
on,
like, let's go, better day again, and you just keep going. But I understand.
You know,
I understand so much.
So thankful for this platform that we are given, because it's a blessing that God was able to open up so many doors for me and really explore who I am and grow from all these opportunities I've had. So I thank y'all. I really do. The network and everything. But I want to let you people know, nobody prepared me for this.
Yeah.
Nobody told me, like, look, Nelson, if this happens, this is what you have to do. No, you have to do this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when reality really hits, because that's when social media, the world, turned their back on me. and choked me out while I was down. Like, I had to process this stuff while I was in the hospital, trying to fight for my foot, trying to go through all this pain while social media, I'm getting DMs, go, oh, I hope you died in an accident. Oh my goodness. Kill yourself, Nelson. Oh, my God, this and that, and just everything. And, you know, at first when I got out the hospital, I was looking at social media for motivation and inspiration. Right. Because when people heard I got into the accident, it was all love. It was all love, man. Like, I was like, all right, cool. This
like,
is
thank
like,
you. Like,
yeah, I'm opening up my phone. I love you, Nelson. I'm so happy you survived, Nelson. We can't wait to see you again on TV. All this. But then when the articles dropped, when all these things came out about me, nobody gave me a chance to tell my side of the story. They just fed into these articles, AKA TMZ, AKA all these social platforms are just throwing stones at me at one after another. I'm like, dude, are you serious?
You're like, let me speak.
Let me breathe. Yeah, let me breathe.
To the background story of the GoFundMe. I put up a Q&A on my Instagram and I got a lot of questions and I tried to go through it and to weed out the bullshit, weed out, you know, somewhere I'm like, well, duh, like, someone, you know, does he regret it? Okay, duh, like, I'm sure if he got depicted, redo the night, he would do it differently.
In a different way.
But there were other questions that I was like, okay, let's hear this side of it. So I know that you were in the hospital when the GoFundMe account was posted. Mm-hmm. Did you create the GoFundMe?
No, I did not create the GoFundMe.
So when the GoFundMe was created by a friend, I'm assuming, did they ask you, hey, can I do this? Or did they just do it out of like them being kind?
Support.
They were doing it out of being kind. They knew I was going to go through hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, about a week later, I get a call saying, hey, we created a GoFundMe for you to help you with your hospital bills and knowing you're not going to be able to work. And I was thankful for them. And I got to read the GoFundMe a week after it was posted, and it was a beautiful thing because they didn't know what was happening. They didn't know what happened. You know, none of my friends did, not even my mother did. So when I found out what happened, and legally I wanted to come out and say this and be an advocate for this, because like I said, when I woke up, I was thankful for that I didn't injure someone else.
Right. Yeah.
Because then you start reading all these stories about how people got injured by other people and committed suicide.
So at the point when the GoFundMe was live, your friend who created it still didn't know, and you also didn't know about your toxicology report.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, yes, they created that probably 2 days after finding out I was in the hospital. And if you read over the thing, it literally says Nelson got into a traumatic car accident. He's going to need help. And he reached out to my community. He didn't think about people judging me, why this and that or what happened. You know, he reached out to a community that... It hurts me because when I didn't care about the money. I didn't care about giving a refund back. What hurt me is the messages I got that people said that I led them on, that I didn't give them the full story, that I didn't give them the full scoop. I would never take money out of somebody's pocket. I'd be damned if I asked for that if you don't want to give me, because I know how hard it is in this world to make a dollar. And I know people could put that anywhere else. And so I was thankful for that.
I want to ask the question that someone sent so that you can give a direct answer.
Let's go.
Okay. The GoFundMe was made by a friend of his while he was in the hospital, maybe like the next day. A lot of people felt betrayed and lied to because it was not disclosed that alcohol was involved. Did his friend not disclose that because he did not feel it was his place to say that on GoFundMe, or was it purposely done to deceive people?
My person, Joe, he's a godly man, goes to church every Sunday, hosts his Bible study Tuesdays and Wednesday. And he did not know. He probably wouldn't even created that GoFundMe if he wouldn't know alcohol was involved, because he would have knew right then it was my fault. But would he have left that out if he did not know? No, he wouldn't have. He you can read back in that paragraph when he wrote that, it was very sincere. It was coming from the heart, and it was to help his brother out. Nothing else. Regardless of what the situation was, but I injured myself, he still reached out to the community to help me in a time of need. So that was coming from the heart, man. So it really hurt me when people thought that. That guy's a good guy. And a lot of people that did donate to that GoFundMe, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It was a blessing that people are out there willing to not judge me, for making a mistake that I do regret, that I'm still living with the consequences and actions for the rest of my life. I'm not going to forget about these people.
Of course not. Never, ever. Of course not. How does, I remember when, you know, the journey of how things have played out on social media, as far as like coming out about the accident, as far as KJ being on the news talking about the accident, you know, and all these things are playing out, and then the GoFundMe, and then people asking for refunds for the GoFundMe, and I saw the nasty messages you were getting. I think I reached out and was like, don't fucking, like, just don't. Like, feed do not him. Feed into the... I saw crazy shit. And that's one thing I fucking hate about social media. People really will sit there and send crazy messages. Like, telling somebody to go kill themselves is
that's
just...
horrible.
It's nuts. Just I've gotten them, and it's just... It's like, it's just for what? You know what I mean? But anyway, I can go on a whole rant. My question, going back to it, is... what was your plan as far as telling your story? Because I feel like hearing you talk, you kind of feel like since the article got posted of you, of it being a DUI, you kind of got, someone else told your story for you.
Right.
Did you have a plan of eventually telling everyone what did happen?
Oh, no doubt. 100%. If anybody knows me or ever follow me, you know I'm a very straightforward guy. I don't hide who I am. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I didn't have a strategic plan. Nobody plans this shit out, dude.
Yeah, right.
Like, this was happening while I was still in the hospital, you know? And when I talked to my lawyers, asked them, hey, can I come out and say this? They said, legally, no, Nelson, because you still need to get prosecuted. You don't know if that's going to even go on your record or you're going to, we don't know if it's that high.
You couldn't say anything.
I could not legally say nothing at all. My lawyer said it was not a good idea. And I was like, okay, cool. So, but when it came out, dude, depression, anxiety, tears, pain, all hit me at once.
I'm sure. And all you said you it came out while you were in the hospital?
No, I was out the hospital.
Oh, you were out
I
the
was
hospital.
In Mexico trying to get stem cells to fix my ankle with my mom. And yeah.
Wow.
TMZ even wrote an article about me about it while I was in Mexico on the beach having a personal conversation about life with my mom. They capture a picture of me in Mexico. I don't know how they got it. And I'm out there trying to fix my ankle and say, Nelson's on the beach having drinks with his mom. I'm like, what the? I'm like, now you're bringing my mother into this?
Right.
This is crazy to me. Like, it blows my mind. But hey, it hurts me that we have these articles and people, like, they get fulfilled with other people's pain and what they're going through. And me not being able to tell my truth and my side of the story even hurt me more because people thought I betrayed them. And that hurts even more because I was relying on social media for motivational and inspiring me to get out of bed. And when they turned their back on me, dude, and I had to open my phone and it says, go kill yourself. You shouldn't be alive. I hope you lose your foot. You don't deserve to be here. I'm like, yo, I had to literally turn my phone off. Like Cheyenne said, even Zach was on the phone. It's like, dude, don't read those comments. Don't turn off your phone. Get off of social media. And I did. I had to.
Sometimes you have to just walk away.
Had to. And I'm so happy I did. I'm so happy I did because that's when you build a real strength. When you're alone and you don't have all these people putting things into your head and you really get to dive into what's really going on up here and in here. Because at that point, I was like, I can't count on nobody else. Mm-hmm. The only person that I could count on is God and talking to him. And I need his help to get out of here. I need his help. And in order for me to do that, I needed to forgive myself. I need to stop blaming myself, looking myself in the mirror, asking myself why, and tearing up and screaming in that pillow and realizing that I don't belong here no more. Why am I still here? Because you get to a point where you tell yourself that, and all you want to do is pop a pill and not be there no more, or smoke some weed. Because
it just seems like it's easier.
It's easier. It numbs the pain.
It's easier.
But then when that numbness goes away, like you said, you chase a high.
Yeah.
Now, high only lasts for so long because then reality hits.
Yep.
And then you read another comment. Or article.
Yeah.
So you really had to step away from the social media, all the media things.
Yeah.
I did.
I mean, it's hard. I've watched social media tear myself down. I've watched social media tear Zach down. And I remember there was one day we were really going through it and we were just getting drugged through the mud. And my mom came over. I think my sister came over. Everybody came over. And Zach and I are just sitting on the couch like two depressed little puppies. And my mom was like, fuck this. Like,
yeah.
She was like, fuck this. Like, fuck them. And we're like, yeah.
Yeah, fuck them. We're good people.
And in my
as a wine glass.
Right. Like, yeah. In my head, I swear, I'm still like, no.
Yep, it is.
It's
like that.
Dang, like, it's so easy for everyone else to come and tell me, like, don't read it, don't do this. They don't know you.
Right.
And I'm still looking at my husband, who didn't sign up for this at all, and he's just getting drugged through the mud. And he's like, I can't even tell my side because people don't even care to hear it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They don't even care. And I think that sometimes is the hard part, is that someone can read something about you and then make their whole mind up. And then not only the make their mind
story.
Up, but tell you who you are or right. tell you what you did. And I'm like, you weren't there. You didn't see it. Like, you're not, you don't know what happened, right? Like, you understand that you don't know what happened, right?
I agree 100%. 100%.
But I'm not about to argue with Susie from Oklahoma that's probably sitting on her mom's couch. Like, I refuse. Every now and then, I really will argue.
Susie's
though.
In a basement.
That's what Zach always says.
Susie's in the basement.
Zach always goes, home. They're probably in the basement arguing, like, ding. I'm like, I swear. And every now and then, I get a little bored and I'm like, I'm just going to write something back. And then I go back and I regret it. And I'm like, I shouldn't have even given them my energy to.
But it's crazy because we share this space with people, right?
Yeah.
And they're so quick to judge us, but they don't want to invest in us. At least do your homework. And
understand.
Just do your homework. Yes. Do your history. Yes. If you know what kind of man I am or what kind of person, whoever you're judging, find out who they really are before you make a deposit or right. you withdraw or you throw all these comments at them, you know? Mm-hmm. If I was, you know, had DWI after DWI, I was out here just right. drinking and doing reckless shit, I get it. I've never gotten a DWI in my life. This is my first one, dude, and it's been hell because it's crazy to me. I used to tell my friends, dude, I made it out of college without right. a DWI. I made it 30 years, 34 years without getting a DWI. And all of a sudden, it could happen to anybody. It could happen yeah. to anybody. But so many people are so quick to judge, man. And what's so sad about this world is when people hear about evil things going on in this world, they're very interested and invested.
Always.
But you do a good thing in this world,
they
it's like
they
no attention.
Don't
it's
care.
Like,
they
like
don't
whoa.
Care. They want to uplift that.
What's going on right now?
Yeah. They want like, to yeah. hone in onto things that are negative.
Yeah.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
One question that I did get a lot that I thought was kind of interesting was, do you still drink?
Yes, I do still drink. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I have not been drunk at all, but I've had one glass of wine, well, about two or three glasses of wine on my birthday. November 3rd, when I've gone out to eat, I have one glass of wine, but that's about it. I haven't been drunk. I haven't been drunk since then. I can't. Even when I go to the bar now, I have a glass mm-hmm. of wine just mm-hmm. to have it in my hand. And I might not even finish the whole thing. It's not that I'm against drinking, because I don't want to sit here and say that. Is that I'm against not being able to handle your alcohol. I'm against yeah. you getting to a point to where it's like, okay, even if I'm going out for one or two drinks, call Uber, call a friend.
Yeah, right. Because
you just don't know how that alcohol is going to affect your body. You know, you don't know what's really in that tequila or vodka or
right,
whiskey
like how
how your body's feeling that day, how exhausted mm-hmm. you are. You just don't
That's
know.
That's real, yeah.
Don't even take the chance of
don't
it.
Don't even take the chance.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Yeah. So even now, a typical Sunday, if I was to go back in the day and tell my old self that, I don't give a damn. Pay for the Uber or ride right. with a friend. And I want to be a DWI. I am a DWI advocate. We all make mistakes. And I just want people to know, man, like, we're all imperfect people, dude. Like, but don't go out there and do the same thing over and over again, because you might not get that second chance or that third chance.
Of course, everyone wants to know how mentally you're going into your amputee surgery. And a big question that I got, which I couldn't find online, and I don't know if I just didn't dig hard enough, was a lot of people want to know where you're getting cut. I don't know if I'm asking that like a right way, but it's like, is it the ankle, the foot, the leg? Like,
is it the big toe, the pinky toe? Which part is not working?
Where are we going?
Man, you can take the bunion. Go ahead.
Oh my God.
Luckily, it was my bad foot, man. Corey will always make fun of my bad foot. So it's my ugly big toe.
Ew.
My left foot is my good foot. So yeah, man, it's crazy. All I want to say, man, you got to have a strong circle around you. You got to have great family and great friends. I really, truly love you and are going to be by your side. And a shout out to my family. Shout out to my friends. I've been there. I've been able to call and check up on me because that's who you're going to have to turn to when you're going through this. I can't prepare for this. I cannot. Can you prepare for somebody cutting your foot off and you telling them? Like, imagine the doctor say, I'm about to put you to sleep. When you wake back up, no foot.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's wild to think about it like
really,
that.
Really wild.
I was telling Corey that yesterday when we were at Universal Studios, you know, a month ago, even last week, I was saying, oh, yeah, March 5th is around the corner. But March 5th is around the corner now. It's like a couple days from now. Yeah. And it's scary.
It's here.
I have my ups. I have my downs. You know, one day I'm smiling and laughing on TikTok Live and having good times with fans and friends. And the next moment when that turns off, I'm like,
you're in your thoughts.
Can I really do this? Mm-hmm. Can I really cut off my foot? And I'm like thinking in my head, I was like, Nelson, like, don't do it. Don't do it. You got this. You got this. You know, stay strong. God is going to fix this. God is going to fix this. But he has gave me so many signs that I'm making the best decision for myself. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've came to this decision of having an amputation on March 5th. And it's below the knee, which is amazing because if it was above the knee, shout out to all my above the knee amputees, life is 10 times harder for you from my understanding because I'll have a lot more mobility in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know I'm a little slow.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking at my
knee. That you're a little slow. Well, no, I wasn't agreeing.
I'm looking at my knee, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So we're going here.
Okay.
Right?
A little further. I'll show you exactly where it's at. My foot. This is right here.
Oh, right. So it's like above the ankle.
Yeah, above the ankle.
Oh, I'm thinking a whole leg, a whole new leg.
People watching this right now.
Yeah, they're going to see this.
Y'all want to see the foot, people? Oh, y'all want to see the foot? All right, let's go. This is going to be a game changer.
You said no. I don't want to see the foot. Oh, there's the foot.
There's a foot, people. So right now, what we're looking at is
surgical
flap. This is a surgical flap.
That's from your thigh.
From my left thigh. And look how it's growing hair already.
Nelson's cool. Foot out.
So yes, people. Is that part of your leg, is it numb?
It's numb. I can't feel
this. So you can't feel anything?
Okay, don't hit it. Don't hit it. Please stop.
I can't feel nothing, people. And
so
only
where's the skin?
So
the flap.
You can't feel it?
No. I hate Zach!
No, I cannot feel it, bro.
This?
It's like, have you seen Adam Sandler?
Mr. Deeds. Yeah, Mr. Deeds.
This skin right here is from
this upper thigh.
Yeah, this is from my upper thigh. This, you can see the stitches.
That looks like thigh skin.
Yeah,
shut up,
Chai. Cool. Oh. you can't even tell.
It looks like it's from your thigh.
Skin.
You can see on this side, you can see this is where the bone is not healing and stuff like that. This is a part that's
not
healing.
Put that foot away.
So the reason being of why they've decided to amputate it, is because it's not, your numbness is still there.
Right.
And because they can't wake your nerves back up?
No, that's not the reason at all.
What are
some people go throughout life without having any feeling.
Okay.
Because nerves are the hardest things to come back. It can take years.
Right.
Or never.
I guess because I'm like thinking of my C-section scar because I still can't feel my stomach.
You can't feel something?
It's weird. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, I have a non-union bone. And that's when your bone's not healing.
Okay.
And you got to realize you have so many pieces of bones connected in your foot that my thing is just like all messed up, like chaos down there.
My
nerves are all twisted and bent and everything. The only part of feeling I have in my foot is the back of my foot. That is the only part.
Now I'm like picturing your foot on the table and the back of your foot.
But yeah.
I'm like...
foot. Picture I'm, this.
I can't believe you put that foot out. And
hey, that's an attention getter. That's an attention getter.
Yeah.
You got to use that clip as an attention getter,
bro,
people.
We're gonna get, you need to get them toenails done. Jesus,
you think I get a, you think I get 50% off at a discount pedicure?
I'm going to throw something at you. I'm all the way done. Hey,
that's 50%
oh
off, baby.
God.
50% off.
Okay, I have one more question before we end this. Now that we've seen your magical foot,
you slapped it.
We've heard about the journey. We've heard about your past. What in your perfect ideal world, Nelson, would be your future? What does your future look like after you're healed, after you got that magic prosthetic, we're walking, we're skipping, we're running? What do you see for yourself?
You know, I've gotten that question a lot. A lot of people want to know, Nelson, are you going back on a challenge? Nelson.
Think about that redemption story.
Crazy,
you climbing
right?
up the mountain. Oh, come on. I would take my fucking shoe off and show my prosthetic. Y'all about to see this.
You know, I've had coaches reach out to me about being a Paralympian and joining that world of the amputees. I want to give a big shout out to the amputee world for embracing me with open arms and not judging me. I felt the love, and I love y'all for that. Shout out to Less Leg, More Heart for making a nonprofit donation for my prosthetic in my hospital bills. That's a big shout out to them. But what do I see in my future? I don't know. I've gotten that question a lot, you know, and I pray about it. And, you know, we all want answers right now. Mm-hmm. We want things now. But I've realized things will unfold in time, and He's going to show me. But I know one thing I want to give back to the world is that I want to help others and inspire others, is that even though we're going through dark times, there's a way out. Mm-hmm. There's a will. You just got to get your ass up and do it. And you can't put your faith in people. You can't put your faith in materialistic things. You got to put your faith in God. I'm not here to tell you to go to church or read a Bible study. You know, what works for me might not work for you, but I'm telling you, He's always there. Mm-hmm. And He's helped me out through all this process. So in a perfect world for me is that I'm still able to give my mother everything that I promised her before this amputation. Mm-hmm. And that would be the perfect thing for me.
Do you see yourself ever getting married and having a family?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, I love kids. I love being in a relationship sometimes, you know, unfortunately. Yeah,
I love that.
I love being in a relationship sometimes.
Sometimes.
And the reason why I say sometimes, because unfortunately none of my relationships have worked, but in time, I've had some great times.
That answer. Yeah,
I've had some great times with my relationships. I've had wonderful women. They've all been queens. I've learned something from every relationship, and they've helped me grow and understand what kind of man I am. But now, I fully understand who I am. I was a little boy. I was doing little boy shit. And you don't understand that because you're on this fast-paced lifestyle. Right. God said, you're going to sit your ass down one way or another. You got to realize I was flying around the world. I was on TV. I was hosting things. I was on my high. I was on a go. And God said, and I was looking for directions. And you know me, my entire life, I've been running with no directions and taking every opportunity that was given to me.
Yeah.
Not thinking fully why I'm here and what my purpose is. And now He's gave me a purpose to help others and inspire others. Who knows what door will open? Yeah. Who knows? I might be on a challenge. I might be doing something else. And I might be able to, whatever I'm doing from now on, I just want to give back and I want to inspire others and I want to live through Him. So whatever He throws my way, let's go. And to answer your question one more time, am I mentally prepared for this amputation? Nobody can be mentally prepared. But I'm ready. I'm at peace with it.
Okay.
I have my ups. I have my downs.
Yeah.
Like we all are. We're not perfect.
I think that's the best way to go into it. Is
exactly.
Like, as long as you, and it's only you,
right,
need to be at peace with your decision and to be fully trusting with your doctors. And I think that's all anybody could ask of you.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I feel like watching you talk and watching you move and watching you laugh at certain things and kind of get down or deeper with certain things. It's interesting. And I could only see, like, for me, if someone asked me, like, oh, what do you think Nelson should do in the future? I think you should go on tour. and be like a motivational speaker and talk about this is what can happen with when you drive and you drink. And I'm a result of it, but I'm still alive to tell my story, and I can now help others figure out, you know, mistakes they've made, or maybe, you know what I mean? Like, I really think that you can truly become an inspiration and a motivational speaker. You're a great speaker. You can captivate a room easily, and you're not afraid to tell the truth of what happened. You're not afraid to admit your wrongs, and you're not afraid to say, like, no, I have bad fucking days. Like, I've had terrible days. Like, I really feel like you just telling your story over and over and over again is going to help someone. And like you said, it's therapeutic for yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's you're healing yourself within being able to share. Mm-hmm. And having life to share, being able to even tell your story, that's a blessing.
It is.
To you talk about getting closer to God and your faith, I think
it's very inspiring.
You need to just continue to tell your story. Some people are going to receive it in different ways. You just never know how they're going to receive it, but I would never stop telling it.
I don't plan on to. I'm a walking testimony, and in order for me to keep walking, you know, I have to put my faith in something.
Yeah.
And like I said, this journey of mine has opened me up to so many things. I got to look at this as a blessing.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I should have died in that car.
Yeah.
I should have died, man. Looking back at that video and just thinking.
Well, you really shouldn't have.
You shouldn't have.
You really shouldn't have. You didn't.
It's hard.
You're not gonna say that. I'm sure
we're not going to allow you to say that, okay? We're not going there.
I felt that way, but that's the truth. That's the truth. I have to be honest with myself. I asked myself, like, God, like, why am I still here? And that's why when people ask me what I'm going to do after this, it's hard to give them an answer because
you're waiting for God's answer.
You know, and in time, he's revealing that to me.
And you're still in the rut of it. You're still right there in it.
You're not over.
It's not done. You're not healed. I think you're still in the gust of what is happening to you. So it's hard to give anybody that answer. But I've been in a car that I should have died in.
Mm-hmm.
And people are still like, how the fuck did you guys survive that?
I know.
So I only say that you should not have died because there's a reason that you're here. There's a reason that I'm here.
There's a reason that my whole family
is here. Anybody who saw our car that day was like, I just don't understand how any of you guys are alive.
Right.
So there is definitely a bigger plan that's not a part of our plan, but that's God's plan. And sometimes there's no reason to it. There's no answer, but it is what it is. And I fully accepted that for what it is. So really appreciative that you came on here. You shared with us. I would love to have you back when you get your toes done.
On that side. She said,
"I can't." Your toes. And you can come back and put your fancy prosthetic leg in the foot.
I'm gonna put it right here.
Come back when you have that, okay? We don't want you back until that point.
I'm dead shy.
I definitely want to have you back on. My sister is so mad that she was not able to come on today.
Yes, she was very mad.
But I want to have you back. I want to have you back when you can show off your prosthetic. Where can people follow you? Where can people follow your journey? And if anyone wants to donate to your prosthetic fund, how can they do that?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram _NelsonThomas, TikTok MTV_Nelson, and So Girls for Snapchat. And if you would like to donate for my prosthetic and hospital bills, it's called Less Leg, More Heart. It's on my LinkedIn, on my Instagram, and this is going to be one hell of a journey. I hope y'all join the ride. And stay tuned because this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the beginning. I have a whole new chapter. And I know it's going to get darker before it gets brighter. Amputation is on March 5th at 4 a.m. in the morning. I'll be home at 1 p.m. And I'll be filming everything. So stay tuned to that too. I really want to bring y'all along with me throughout this journey. I'm not going to just show you the end of the tunnel where the light is, me smiling and laughing. Y'all about to see the full exclusive, me going through pain, depression, hurt, tears, and joy all at the same time. So come join me.
All right, guys. Wow. This is out. Well, today, if you're listening to it, it is March 4th, which means Nelson's procedure is tomorrow. So everyone that's listening to this, I just want you to take a second and to say a prayer for him. We want this to be a easy, pain-free transition. Of course, there's going to be bumps in the road, but we're praying for pain-free and we're praying for good mental health. And if you guys can go and spam Nelson's Instagram and let him know that you came from the Think Loud Crew podcast and that we are sending him so much love. I'm so thinking what love. We're going to spam him with. It's not like
rude. I was thinking what you were going to tell him.
I'm like, is there toenails? Is there a toenail emoji?
The foot emoji.
The foot is rude. Oh,
they got the prosthetic emoji.
There's the prosthetic up there. Okay. Prosthetic so emoji. We're going to spam with a prosthetic leg and a heart. And a prosthetic leg and a heart, okay?
The orange heart. Yeah, that stands for prosthetic.
Orange hearts and prosthetic leg. We're going to spam his page to let him know that we are all thinking about him and that we are sending him just the best vibes ever, okay? So spam with the orange heart and the prosthetic leg. And if there's a toenail emoji, throw that in. Because I'm really about to find a toenail emoji to spam your page.
Hey, one last part. You know somebody asked to buy my foot?
Okay.
Stop.
I swear to God, I was.
How much did they offer you?
I hit them back with $250,000 as a joke, and they said, "Oh, we'll DM you." And that's a joke ending.
Oh no! We're gonna talk after this. I have so many more questions. All right, guys, don't forget to follow us on Think Loud Crew on Instagram and on YouTube. And as always, like, comment, subscribe. Go and spam Nelson's page
with orange hearts and prosthetic legs
and toenails if they have them. If not, then just put hashtag toenail.
Yes, sir. All right.
And as always.
You can tell what?
Yeah.
You can tell your crew
about our crew.
What do we say at the end of every podcast? You're on a roll. I'm just listening.
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.